Mark is my favorite book in the Bible. There's 1,189 chapters in the Bible. I love all of them. But in particular, the book of Mark, it's only 678 verses long. You can read it in a brief period of time. It's the most active of all the Gospels. The word "and" is found in the book of Mark 1,336 times. If you don't believe me, go count them, okay? It says in this book of Mark, this happened, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened. A lot of ands. And it has words of intense action like immediately, forthwith. I mean, intense action. It's the most active of all the Gospels, the best I can tell. But I want to show you a verse that I noticed 30 years ago. And young people, I was 17 then, I'm 47 now. For 30 years, I've been thinking about this verse. And the Lord's letting me preach from it this morning. It's so precious to me. Mark chapter 14 and verse 26. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Let's read that together, may we? Begin. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Let's pray a moment. Lord, I'm so glad you let me be in church this morning. I'm so glad you let me be here at Worth Baptist. I love you, Lord, and I want to be used of you. And I pray every one of us would pay attention to your Bible and to your good Son. I love the Lord Jesus, and I thank you, Lord, that you saved me. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. I've titled the message this morning, The Singing Savior. The Singing Savior. We find in verse 26, Christ and His disciples are observing the Passover ceremony. And at the end of the Passover ceremony, the Lord's going to teach a new object lesson, the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. We have two ordinances. We have baptism. You know, after you get saved, you ought to get baptized. If you're in this room and you're saved and not baptized, I have a question for you. Why not? Why have you not followed the Lord in believer's baptism? And then the other ordinance, the Lord's Supper, and the Lord Jesus Himself is going to teach the disciples about it here. But we read in verse 26, and when they had sung an hymn, this is Christ and His disciples singing together. Have you thought about the Lord Jesus singing? Now, this is the only time in the Bible that we have recorded for us Jesus singing. Now, it's also in the parallel passages in Matthew and so forth. But this is the one event that is recorded for us about the Lord Jesus Christ singing. I do not believe it was the only time He sang. I believe He sang often. But this time it's recorded for us about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our eternal Savior, singing. Now, what kind of voice did the Lord Jesus have? Was He a tenor? Was He a bass? Was He a baritone? I do not know the timbre of the Lord Jesus' voice. I don't know all the pitch range and all that. But I do know a few things. I know, number one, that the Lord Jesus Christ is perfect. And that includes His music is perfect. Everything about the Lord Jesus is absolutely perfect, including His singing and all of His music and everything He does. The Lord Jesus is perfect. Now, I've made a lot of mistakes. This morning as the trio was about to get to the piano, I was saying, where's the book? We'd accidentally left it down here. Oh, shame on us. I like the service to flow, but we made a human error. You ever had any of that? Would you all be honest today? We've all had that. We've all made those mistakes. I was called on by a pastor named Mike Norris to sing spontaneously. I'm not good at that. I'm not good with rehearsal, let alone spontaneous. He said, Brother Fox, come up here and sing that song you wrote entitled The Miracle I've Seen. So I went up, I said, yes, sir, preacher. I got up there and I began to sing. I didn't see Christ feed 10,000. And I noticed right there I was singing about the feeding of the 10,000. I've never read that in the Bible. I don't even know how that happened. It surprised them and me too. I've made a lot of blunders. I was watching TV one day and saw a choir singing, a church choir. I was sitting with one of my preacher friends and we was looking at that choir. They were singing along. And I thought, you know, that's about the way I would have written that song. And after a full minute, I realized, well, I did write that song. No wonder it sounds familiar. I've forgotten so many things. I have to write it down to remember. Then I've got to look to make sure of that. I've made a lot of mistakes. I've sang a lot of wrong words. I've sung a lot of wrong notes. But the Lord Jesus is perfect. And everything He does is perfect, including His singing is perfect. But not just getting all the notes right and all the nuances of music. But when He sings, all the content is right and perfect. For example, you know, sometimes we sing that song, I surrender all, I surrender all. Now let me ask you a question. Should we want to mean that song? Amen? Yes, we should want to mean that song. Now, have you ever completely done that for a long period of time in your life, or have you struggled with that? See, it's only the Lord Jesus who can sing that song absolutely perfectly. No hypocrisy, no blemish, no flaw whatsoever. How about that song, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way? Well, we want to mean that one when we sing it too. Have you ever failed in trusting? Have you worried? Doubted? Trust and obey. Have you ever struggled with obedience? All of us have. But not the Lord Jesus. He said, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. And see, the Lord Jesus is perfect. Including all of His singing is perfect. Not just the notes, but all the content is absolutely right. It says, and when they had sung an hymn. Four or five things I'd like to point out to you this morning. Notice that pronoun, they. And when they. Number one in my outline, I put this down. The Savior sings with His group of disciples. Our Savior is singing with His group of disciples. He's got these 12 disciples. He's got Peter in the group. He's got all of these men. Imagine that. The Lord Jesus singing with Peter. Singing with Bartholomew. All these disciples. And the Lord Jesus, these men are as green as grass. Peter has made all kinds of blunders along the way. He did walk out on the water for a little while, but it was he that sank and then cried out to the Lord, and the Lord Jesus had mercy on him. It was he that in Mark chapter 9, Peter got so excited up there on the Mount of Transfiguration, he said, Lord, it's good we're here. We ought to go right into a building program. Let's build 3 tabernacles. He's an excitable man. And he makes promises. Lord, I will never deny you. The Lord knew better than that. Satan's going to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you. And here the Lord Jesus is singing with Peter. It's amazing. The Lord Jesus is singing with His disciples. Our Savior is singing with His group. Now the emphasis in the Bible, out of these 700 and some references to music in the Bible, of all the references in the Bible, the majority are about group singing. The emphasis of the Bible is on group singing. Oh, I love to hear solos like Brother Adam Davis. I love to hear a young man get up and sing like that. Beautiful. Stirred our hearts. Reminded us what the Lord did for us. I love a soloist. I love a choir like this. I love it. Wonderful. But in the Bible, the emphasis is not on the soloist. The emphasis is on group singing. Therefore, I draw this conclusion. I believe the most important music of our church is congregational singing. When our whole group sings together. When we all get the book out and sing, all hail the power of Jesus' name. I love it when the whole group sings. Jesus Christ, our perfect model, that's what He's doing here. He's singing with His group, and the Bible says it this way. Psalm 66 and verse 4. If you're listening, say amen. Psalm 66 verse 4. All the earth shall worship thee. All the earth shall worship thee. And shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name. Psalm 30 verse 4. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his. And give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Psalm 96 verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Psalm 98 verse 4. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Do not let the devil rob you of the joy of singing with your group. Get the book when it's time to do the congregational singing and sing. The impact of music is most keenly felt when it's the whole group effort. At our church, I served there for 12 years as the assistant pastor and music man and lots of things. I was the one that got to pull the poison ivy. I got to do a lot of things. And I loved it. Had the time of my life. And I'm having the time of my life now. 17th year as an evangelist. Well, we saw a man get right with the Lord named Jerry. Man, this is 25 or 30 years ago. Jerry got right with the Lord. And I remember the first Sunday that I led singing with Brother Jerry sitting down here. Brother Jerry had been from a pretty bad family. Things have been pretty rough. Kind of a mafia type family. Pretty rough. But man, he's sitting there on Sunday morning. His first Sunday morning with, I'm going to lead singing with Brother Jerry sitting right there. He's got a suit on. He's got a visitor beside him. And he is excited about being in the Lord's house. I mean, he's already sitting on go. He's ready. I got up there. I said, everyone get your songbook number 15. We're going to sing, Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. That was one of our favorites to start our services with. Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Now, I know the song. My choir knows the song. Our church knows the song. Several hundred of us sitting there that morning. But Brother Jerry had never heard the song in his life. It was all brand new to him. Well, he got that hymn book out and he is going to sing along with us. And I was a little surprised what happened. He began to sing at the top of his lungs. He had no idea how that song went. He had one note. It was a very bad note. We still haven't found that note. He began to sing at the top of his lungs. He didn't know the timing. He didn't know the notes. He didn't know anything. He knew he is saved. He knew he's on his way to heaven. And he had a song in his heart. And he was trying to sing with his group. I'm up here, Brother Andrew. I couldn't find the melody myself. He threw me off. He threw our whole church off that day. You know, he's kind of learned the songs now. He went off to Bible college, got active in the bus ministry, winning souls. Amen! And got a song in his heart. And he wanted to sing with his group. That's what the Lord Jesus is doing here. He's singing with his group. Psalm 149 verse 1, the Bible says, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Hebrews 2:12, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Number one, the Savior is singing with his group of disciples. Number two, think about this. Our Savior is singing with sorrow approaching. Our Savior is singing with sorrow approaching. What's going to happen in just a few hours after verse 26? And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. What's going to happen in just a few hours? Well, the most agonizing, the absolute most intense, the most torturous, the most stressful, the most dreaded, most arduous experience ever to take place on this earth is just about to take place. The most extreme punishment allowed by Roman law was death by crucifixion. He was spit upon. Years ago, a few years back, in the major league ball games of America, as a baseball player spit on an umpire, And it made the news how awful that was. When I saw that on the news, I thought about my Savior. How He took that. And the Lord Jesus Christ, just before He was going to the cross, He's singing. He's going to the cross. Why? He who knew no sin became sin for us. And just before He goes, He sings. He not only willingly went to the cross, He did it with joy. That's unbelievable. Now the scoffer and the lost man might say something like this: all right, Brother Fox, there's your Savior, Jesus Christ. And He's singing before He goes to the cross. That's a strange circumstance, Brother Fox, for your Savior to be singing in. That's odd. Doesn't He know how awful the cross is going to be? That's a strange circumstance for your Savior to be singing in. That's what the scoffer may say. Because he just does not understand. You see, the world's songs are all based on circumstance. You know? What's a Christian song based on? Faith in God. Amen. And the world does not understand that. Oh, listen, the Lord Jesus knew these verses as He's singing. Isaiah 49 verse 13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted His people and will have mercy upon His afflicted. Psalm 59 and verse 17. Unto Thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. The Lord Jesus is setting a pattern for all of us this morning. Paul and Silas, they're sent out by the church, and man, they're out preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is that? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Amen. They're gospel preachers. I was over there in Ohio and somebody said, oh, Brother Fox is nothing but a gospel preacher. Amen. The central theme of the whole Bible is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And these preachers, Paul and Silas, they're out preaching the gospel. There's people getting saved, making union with Christ. But there's other folks getting upset and frustrated. So much that Paul and Silas are beaten and put in prison. And what do you find them doing in Acts chapter 16, about verse 30? They're praying and they're singing. It's midnight and they're still singing. You can't defeat a singing Christian. It's the Lord who puts the song in the heart. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Amen. Well, where did Paul and Silas learn that? Where did they learn to sing in those kind of circumstances? They learned it from the Lord. That all of our songs are based on faith in God. Number one, our Savior is singing with His group of disciples. Number two, our Savior is singing with sorrow approaching. Number three, well, I want you to fill in the word. Look at the Bible. And when I pause, I want you to fill in the word. Verse three. And when they had sung and... Him. Verse 26. Everybody together now. Verse 26. And when they had sung an... And Him. Verse 26. When they had sung an hymn. Our Savior. Number three. Our Savior is singing godly music. He's singing a hymn. So, all right, Brother Fox. Exactly what hymn was He singing? I don't know. I've got a guess. I think it's likely that He was singing what's called the Hallel. Psalm 113 and through 115 is typically sung before the Passover. And then there's chapters sung right after the Passover. I think that's likely the hymn, but it could have been another hymn. I don't know. But I know that He was singing godly music. He was not singing a romantic ballad. He was not singing with His disciples some Greek chant. It was not a Roman march. No, He was singing music associated with the Lord and associated with God's people. Amen. And since the earliest historical records, there has been godly music And there has been ungodly music. I mean, for the last 6,000 or 7,000 years that I'm aware of, I think the earth's about 7,000 years old. If you think it's 10,000 years old, I don't have a real problem with that. You think the earth is 6 billion years old? You're just wrong, okay? I don't believe that evolution stuff. I don't believe that. Well, in these last 6,000 or 7,000 years, there has been godly music and there has been ungodly music. Remember back in the book of Exodus, Moses, the man of God, goes up on the mountain to meet with the Lord. And he's got a young man with him. He's got a young man named Joshua with him. And Moses goes up on top of that mountain to meet with the Lord. And Joshua's there. And some things go on with the people of God down at the bottom of the mountain. And as Moses and Joshua are coming down the mountain, Joshua hears all this taking place at the bottom of the mountain. And Joshua, now he's a man of war. He's a warrior. He says, "Moses, it sounds like we're under attack. It sounds like war has broken out." But the old man of God knew better. The old man of God knew the Lord and knew the Lord well. And the Lord had told him. What's the Bible word there? The people have corrupted themselves. Moses knew the people had corrupted themselves. What's taking place? Idol worship, dancing, nakedness. And how can you tell from even halfway down the mountain? You can hear all that corrupt music. Corrupt lifestyle, corrupt music. And that corrupt music gave it away. Joshua heard it. It can be heard. The corruption of the people by the music. You know the music that we listen to and surround ourselves with? It really does reveal how we're living, doesn't it? When we walk with the Lord, we want music that honors the Lord, don't we? When we walk away from the Lord, we get some of the devil's music in, seems like to me. Oh, listen, I want me and you to have the right kind of music. He's singing a hymn. You know, the Lord didn't say here, let's put some good music to some of this worldly music. I don't believe in that either. I don't like that. No, they're singing a hymn. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. He's singing godly music. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. One last thing I want to mention to you. Number one, our Savior is singing with His group of disciples. Number two, our Savior is singing with sorrow approaching. Number three, our Savior is singing godly music. Then last, I noticed this just recently. I hadn't really noticed it. And 30 years of meditating on this verse, I'd never really noticed this. But when I pause, I want you to fill in the next word. Look at verse 26 again, everybody. When I pause, help me now. And when they had sung a hymn, they went. I was working at the warehouse there at Bible Truth Music. I was carrying hymnals around. Those boxes are 44 pounds each. And I was moving things around. And I was thinking about this verse. And when they had sung an hymn, they went. Before they went, they sang. In preparation to go, they sang. I never even thought about that until that day. I hadn't really meditated. These folks, before they went, before our Savior went, before the disciples went, they sang in preparation to go. They went. They sang before they went. I got thinking about that. Thought back to my own church. My church is a singing church, Calvary Baptist Church, Smithfield, Virginia. That's where my membership is. I've got a pastor, my spiritual leader, Pastor Dan Gray. At our church, we sing a lot. But often, right at the end, we're singing just before we go. My preacher's favorite song, "My Jesus, I Love Thee, I Know Thou Art Mine." So often, we end our services just before we go. we sing. Just before our church, Calvary Baptist, before we go out in the world and try to be soul winners, before we go out in the world and try to have a testimony for the Lord, before we go out and try to live clean for God, before we go as a church, we sing, "My Jesus, I love Thee, I know Thou art mine." You know something? I found that most singing Christians are going Christians. You know something? You cannot lose your salvation. I'm glad I learned that. You can't lose your salvation once you've gotten saved. But you know something? You can lose your song. A Christian can lose their song. And often when they quit the singing, they quit going. I'm not interested in our church quitting going. It is not time for our church to quit. Amen. It's not even time for our church to let up. It's our time for our church to keep singing and keep serving. Would you stand with me? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Our singing Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He died on the cross for you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Our Savior died for me and for you. He did it willingly. He did it with joy. He did it with you on His mind. Are you saved? Is Jesus Christ your Savior? You see, everybody in the world is either saved or lost. Everyone inside this room is either a child of God or a child of the devil. If you're here and you're not saved, what should you do? You should come to our Savior, Jesus Christ. You ought to come forward this morning. Come to the preacher and say, "I need to be saved. I need to be born again. I'm scared if I died today, I would go to hell." Those who die in their sins rejecting the Lord do go to hell. I don't want anyone in Texas to go to hell. I don't want anyone in this room to go to hell. Neither does the Lord Jesus. Our singing Savior died for you. At this invitation, we call this part next invitation. Would you not come forward and let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved? And then those Christians who may have lost their song, would you not come to the altar and do business with the Lord? And all of God's people who need to come and just spend some time with the Lord in God's house, these are friendly altars. Lord, I want this invitation to please You. I want to put it in Your hands. You do everything perfect. Please help us. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are still